Man, what a great song and message that is. Before we go any further, let's pray again before we read God's Word together. Let's do that. Father, thank you again, Lord, for just your presence. And now as we turn in our service for the opportunity to read together your Word, to glean from it this morning a few truths that I think are important and relevant for where we are today on really the threshold of celebrating the greatest season of the year. It's the time we celebrate Jesus. And Father, as we think about Christmas and all that is involved in Christmas, unfortunately, many have lost the essence of what it's meant to be. And I pray this morning as we look into your Word that you would open our hearts and our minds to you. Guide us, Lord, as we study together. We pray if there's someone here who's never truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that this morning, that as they hear and contemplate and consider the greatest gift that has ever been given, that is Jesus and the opportunity of salvation that comes only through Him. Our prayer this morning is that they would finally come to that and understand what that means for them and that they indeed need to accept and surrender and trust in Jesus as their Savior. And Father, for the rest of us, I pray that you would help us to be encouraged, maybe even convicted, to keep you and Jesus as the kind of focus for these next few days and weeks as we go through the serious hustle and bustle of Christmas time. Give us a message to share with our family and those around us about the true meaning of what all of this stands for and what it means for us. Lord, you guide us this morning. You open our hearts and our minds to you. Help us as we read your word together, for it's in Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. Well, turn in John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 18 this morning. And this is kind of an unusual passage, I realize, to think about when we celebrate Christmas and all of that is going on in this time of year. But I wanted to kind of get back to really the basics. And that's really something that we all should be doing this time of year. As we've mentioned, there is the time pressure, the shopping and the parties and the Christmas celebrations and all of the things that seem to sort of take precedence in our life during this time of year. Let us not be guilty of forgetting where it all began. And that's where I wanted us to kind of go back to today and look at this passage and the proclamation that John gives us through the leading of the Holy Spirit, mind you. But it's a proclamation that sort of sets the standard of who Jesus is and what he came to do. And I think that is something that not only we as believers need to pause and contemplate and consider, but it's the message of Christmas. And it's one that should be shared. And there's probably no greater time of year where even lost people begin to become, I think, more teachable, more able to listen to the message of Christmas than this time of year. And so we're going to read, starting in verse 14, as I've said, read down to verse 18. Just kind of a quick reminder, John has opened up his book here in the preceding verses talking about Jesus and talking about the fact that he is the one that was declared the Messiah, the promised one of the Old Testament. One of the things that's important when you read and study John is that you understand that he is writing just for that reason, to prove that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And that's why back in verse 1, and we're not going to have you turn in your Bibles, I'll just read this for you. In the beginning, he says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that word, if you sort of look at the Greek interpretation of that, it's capitalized, but it's meant to be seen as the Word of God in action. And there's no one else that fits that description of just being called the Word in action, but who? Jesus. And that's why then in verse 6, he starts talking about John and the role that John the Baptist has. And then it's in verse 14 where we'll read today that he begins to kind of show us that Jesus came much more than just the purpose of coming into the world to show us the right way. He came to be the Messiah. And that's what we celebrate during Christmas. And that's what John is hoping that the readers of his letter will glean from here, is that Jesus really is the beginning point of all. You've heard this said before. Jesus should be the center of our lives. He should be the center of all that we do. He should be the center of our church. He should be the center of all of the celebrations that we have in our lives, including Christmas. So let's start reading, and then we'll come back to verse 18. And then I want, if you're taking notes this morning, we're going to come back and attempt to answer the question based on what John teaches us here. Why is Christmas still important? And why is it important for us? And it may not be the world's perspective, but I want us to think of the biblical perspective of why Christmas is still important. So let's start reading in verse 14. It says this, "The Word became flesh." There's where we get our title this morning. "Dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 15, "John," that's John the Baptist, "testified about Him, cried out, saying, 'This was He of whom I said, He would come after me as a higher rank than I, for He existed before me. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace.'" Verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Now, if you like to underline in your Bible, that statement alone, I think, typifies really what we see in Jesus. He is, listen to this, a fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament. And when we begin to think about all that comes about in the Old Testament and the discussion about God's law and the standard, the sacrifices, and all of those things that sort of accumulate, listen, they all point to one thing, and that's the latter part of that statement, grace and truth. Who's the grace and truth? Jesus. He came not only as a fulfillment of the prophecy, but He came to show us the greatness of God's love for you, the grace act that God did in sending Jesus for you, and then the truth that comes with who Jesus is. And then it tells us, if you don't understand, it tells you very pointedly, and these were realized through Jesus. Now, verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." But we have seen Jesus. And as we celebrate Christmas, I want us to understand, really, that when we think about, as we're talking this morning, that Christmas is still important, listen, it is about Jesus and nothing else. I mean, yes, there's gifts and there's family and all of what I might call sort of peripheral things that go on during Christmas, but never forget that it's about Jesus. And as we think about that question, why is it still important? I think most of us realize the world has sort of, I think, and I said this on Wednesday night, has in some ways hijacked Christmas from the church. I mean, this is one of the greatest celebrations in the Christian calendar. It's a time for us to celebrate the meaning and the purpose of what Jesus came into this world to do. It's a celebration of the salvation that we have through Jesus and only Jesus. And as we think about Christmas and what the world tells us, we've lost the essence of that. And unfortunately, in many believers' lives, we've lost the essence of that. It is about Jesus, and it's not about anything else. Everything else is secondary to what Jesus is and the meaning that it is with Christmas. Think about this. You wouldn't have Christmas if it weren't for Jesus, right? You wouldn't have salvation if it weren't for Jesus. We wouldn't have a church if it wasn't for Jesus and what God did in giving the world Christ. And so as we think about that, I want us to come back, as I've said, and there are three things this morning, I think, that John sort of pulls out in his passage that'll help us to answer this question, why is Christmas still important? Number one is this, and I've said it probably a dozen times already this morning, and I'll say it again. The number one reason why Christmas is still important is because of Jesus. Let's not forget that. He is who He claims to be. That's the whole purpose of why John is writing this. Now, he is writing to a group of believers in the day that were confused about some of the teachings that they were being taught. Now, this is something that you see all through Scripture and certainly in the New Testament. Not everybody agreed on certain things. You had sometimes what we would call today even false teachings. And you may be thinking there, well, wait, we don't have that these days. Well, you do. I mean, we just brought one up about Christmas. I mean, there are some who are trying to change the narrative of the meaning of Christmas and sort of erase Jesus out of it and let it just become nothing more than a cultural holiday. It's much more than that. I mean, it can't be just that because of who Christ is. And so even in that, you find some false teachings even about Christmas. False teachings, by the way, are rampant in our world today. I mean, we've talked about a lot of them. And as we were in this summer and talking about the essentials of our beliefs and why we believe certain things, we covered things like the Bible and who God is and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And there are differing views even in that within some churches. We can't agree on certain things, but listen, we can settle all of those things if we can agree on one thing, and that is the Bible is the truth. And if we can begin to look at our beliefs and make sure that they're based on what the holy divine word of God says, then we can begin to guard against all of those false teachings. And listen, that's what John is calling these people to do, is to go back to what they know they've been taught about Jesus. Go back to the word. And that's why I think he uses that term, the word, all through this first chapter. Because this is something that would have been familiar to them. This is something that they could resonate with and begin to sort of lock onto, that Jesus is much more than just this person that came and lived a good life. He is the very Word of God in action. And as we think about Christmas and why it's important, it's because Jesus is who he is. He's not just a historical figure. Jesus, by the way, claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be God. And when we begin to think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, we understand that all three of those make up God. Now, we explained this back this summer, and I'll just say this real quickly, and we'll move on. I mean, it's similar to the fact that you may have different roles. I have different roles. I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, and I'm a father. Now, it's still me, but I have three distinct different roles. And by the way, there are a lot of other roles I play too, you as well. But when you begin to think about the difference in those, my church sees me as a pastor. Now, I hope my kids sometimes see me a pastor, but I really play more the role of a father for them. And then my wife sees me not just as a pastor, but she sees me as a husband. Now, it's still me, but they're three distinct different roles. And when you begin to think about God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, it's still the same person, but in three distinct roles that now together make up what we understand to be God. Now, we can get into this, and we're not going to get too far into this, but they are three distinct functions of God. And so listen, God would be incomplete without all of them. All right, and so when we begin to think about Jesus claiming to be who he is, the Messiah, he is God, he says. That was something that needed to be sort of the groundwork of the understanding of the work of Jesus on the cross. And so that's why John spends so much time talking about the Word became flesh. Now make no mistake, and I think we can say this and understand this, Jesus was as much God as he was human. And so when we hear the word flesh there, that is exactly what it means. He was human. He was all human. But he was also all God. And part of God's plan, and we'll get to that more in just a moment, was to send a way for us to have forgiveness of sin. And that was through Jesus. And when we begin to think about Christmas and why it's still important, we would not have forgiveness. We would not have salvation. We would not have a relationship with a heavenly Father if it weren't for Jesus and the forgiveness that he offers us. That's why we say it's the greatest gift that was ever given. And listen, I'm like you. I like gifts, okay? I'll be honest with you. I like receiving them better than I give them. I know that's hard to understand, and some of you may not be that way, but I do like giving them, but I really like getting them, like some of you might do. I just have some of that child nature in me still. But listen, when we begin to think about the celebration of Christmas and the giving of gifts, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Don't get me wrong in that. But we also need to understand that the greatest gift ever given was Jesus. That God looked out from heaven and saw the sin and the incompleteness and the division in our lives that are inherited through the sin of Adam and Eve. And so God, from the very beginning, had already put in play a means for us to have a relationship with Him. Now I'm going to go a step further and say this. For a believer, Christmas brings a completely different perspective than a non-believer. I really do. And that's part of why it's sort of on that line where the lost people see it more as a cultural holiday rather than a religious holiday. I mean, Christmas should be a deeply spiritual time for you as a believer, because it's a reminder of how undeserving you are of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that without that act, we wouldn't have the things that we've just said. The forgiveness, the relationship, the church that we celebrate in. We wouldn't have any of those things if it weren't for what Christ did on the cross. And when we think about the fact that we see or should see Christmas in a different perspective, it's all because of what Jesus means to us. Now, we've talked about this, and I said it a moment ago, but if Jesus is the center of Christmas, then He also has to be, as we've said, the center of what we do. And I think this is important to understand. He should be the very core of our identity. When we become a believer, it tells us in Scripture that we're kind of reworked, rewired, we're reborn into a different thing now. And that thing is something that now is wired into Jesus. And so because of that, we have different perspectives and we see things differently, including our own lives and the world and things like Christmas. I mean, I do think that as far as Christmas time goes, it's one of the greatest opportunities for the church and for believers to share with people about Jesus, because they're right there. I mean, they're talking about it. They're saying Merry Christmas. They're making statements about holy days, holidays. And there's just doorway after doorway after doorway to begin to share the importance of it. And even the title of our sort of note-taking this morning, Why is Christmas Still Important? There's your conversation starter right there. I mean, let me share with you why Christmas is still important to me. And then there's the doorway to begin to share things like we're saying this morning. Listen, we need to see it as that. We need to see it as a blessing. I mean, I know there are some who might even dread Christmas because they're thinking of it from the world's perspective and not from God's perspective. It is a celebration of Jesus, and it's important. Why? Because of Jesus and what He did on the cross and what He's done for you that no one else could have ever done. You cannot have what Jesus gives you from any other way. And then we go on to the second thing is this. Another reason Christmas is still important is not only because of Christ, but I also want us to understand because of His love. And that's God's love for you. That certainly includes Jesus' love and God the Father's love and God the Spirit's love. We're talking about all of God and His love for you. And the fact that God loves us more than we can ever comprehend. And the moment we get to that stage, perhaps, where we think, well, I begin to sort of resonate and figure out God's love for me, then you see a whole other aspect of it, another horizon that you've never even considered. Listen, we will never fully grasp or understand the width or the depth of God's love for us. He loves us more than we can even comprehend. He loves us more, and let's get this out of the way, He loves us more than we could ever love Him. And part of the result of accepting Jesus and trusting Him as our Lord and Savior and receiving the forgiveness that we said that is only available through Jesus is that we now begin the journey. We may call it discipleship. We may call it spiritual growth. You can call it all kinds of things, but it essentially is the journey on learning to love God more. And when we love Him more, then we give Him more. And we begin to be more transformed into His likeness. Why is that? Because of the love that He has for us and the growing love that we have for Him. And part of the struggle of daily life is loving God even through sometimes those difficult times and those stressful times. Some of you may be stressed now because you're thinking we're getting closer to the holidays. And I still got gifts to buy and do these things and cook that thing. Listen, all that may be important, but none of that is more important than the love that God has for you. I just wish that we would just pause. You know, I know traffic's a hectic time this year. We went to the Galleria the other night and it was almost deserted. I wasn't expecting that. But everywhere around the Galleria was crowded. But I love sometimes the distraction of just sitting in traffic. Now, I know you hear me all the time say I get frustrated by traffic. So just stick with me here, okay? This will work. But there are times where that moment of just being forced to take a pause is not a bad thing. Certainly not during this time of year. With all of the stress and the hustle and the things that go on, it might be just a divine appointment for you to sit for just a few minutes and just contemplate things and ask that question about God's love and the vastness of it, to spend time praying for a particular thing. I think that sometimes God forces those times on us. I think He does. And it may not just be in traffic. It could be other things that go on and just sort of force you to sort of sit there for a moment. This week, I'll tell you, the internet went out in the office. Now, I'm like you. I don't know how to do a job without the internet. I mean, how do I do this? And Lori and I were here, and I actually opened a book. I got a bunch of them in my office. I just don't use enough anymore. I actually opened up an old-fashioned book and started studying and preparing my sermon the old-fashioned way, not through the computer. And it was nice to be able to sort of go back to a time where it was just kind of simple. And that was a special time because there wasn't anything else going on because we couldn't even move newsletters around and things like that because the internet was down. We're wired up here at the church for that reason. And so it just sort of forced me to sit there. And I just spent some time reading through and thinking about the sermon. And it just was, I think it was a divine time just for God to sort of force me to get out of the norm and just sort of think about Him. And so sometimes that happens. We need to be on the lookout for that. But listen, when we think about why Christmas is still important, make no mistake, it is because of His love. And that love, by the way, is really what caused Jesus to come into this world. And that love is as important with Christ as it is in our third point, and that's this. Another reason why Christmas is still important is because of His plan. Now, God's had a plan in motion from the very beginning. And you can go all the way back, as I said a moment ago, the original sin of Adam and Eve is what set the need for us to have salvation. And listen, even then, God began to prepare that way. Now, when we think about Jesus and what happened on the cross and the death and the resurrection and the ascension, I mean, all of those go together, by the way. You can't have one without the other. But the shedding of Christ's blood on the cross was the mandate that God had always required. The first sin, what happened? They knew their nakedness, it tells us. And then what? God came and put garments made of animal skins on them. There had to be an animal sacrifice, a blood shed to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. And then as you look further into the Old Testament and see the sacrificial system, it was the mandate for a blood to be shed to cover the sin. And so it always was. And then Jesus comes and His blood is shed, and now that's the final sacrifice. And so when we think about God's plan, He's had a plan in place from the very beginning that would bring Jesus into the world. And that's because of His infinite knowledge and wisdom. He knew Adam and Eve would sin. And what does that mean for you and I today? Well, it means that God still has a plan. He has a plan that incorporates you. It's a plan that includes you, and it's a plan that's divine and unique, but yet perfect for you and what He wants for you. And it all begins with what Jesus did on the cross. I mean, you see why Christmas is so important? Because now even sort of the implication, but now leads sort of the application of Jesus and what He did on the cross, the salvation that that brings us, and now the impact that that makes in the way we live our lives and the plan that we pursue for what God has for us. And that plan incorporates all of us as part of this congregation. I mean, it's tremendous when we see that. And certainly sometimes when we read the Christmas story in Scripture, there are often questions that come. Why did God do it that way? Why would He send Jesus to a virgin to be born into poverty? Because that was God's plan. Well, why was it God's plan? Because He's God. We don't have all of the answers to those things, but we do understand that that is a fulfillment of a plan that God didn't just make up as he was going, but it's a plan that was even prophesied back in the Old Testament in places like Isaiah. We know that he would come as a suffering servant, that he would go to the cross. It tells us some 600 years before Jesus was born in Isaiah that he would be pierced on the side. I mean, very specific things. That when we begin to look at the life of who Jesus is and what John tells us here, he claims to be the Messiah. We see there then that Jesus was a fulfillment of God's plan. And that continues through those who accept Jesus. God's plan is not finished. God has a plan for you that's still in play. He has a plan for this church that's still in play. He has a plan for your lost neighbor and your lost loved one that will be in play when they come to know Jesus. I do believe that. I think God's plan for us, certainly, he orchestrates, and I look at my life and I see where he put me in places so that I would be ready to accept Jesus. Make no mistake, that plan was beginning to work to get me where I needed to be that day in that revival service to accept Christ. But as far as my understanding of that plan, it began on the day of salvation. It began on the day that I accepted Christ. So that's why I don't think a lost person can fully comprehend God's plan for their life. That's why I'd also say they can't fully comprehend what the meaning of Christmas is. I don't think they can. Just like a lost person that comes in a worship service can't truly understand or experience true worship, because that's something only believers can experience. And so when we think about why Christmas is important, it is. It's because of Jesus. It's because of God's love for us. But it also includes a reminder of God's plan for us. And this is where the challenge is. I really think this. It's a challenge for us to make sure that as we sort of go through this season and into a new year, that we think about God's plan for our life. Are we being obedient? Are we as a church being obedient to what God has called us to be and do? And as we have the opportunity to share the message of the true purpose and meaning of Christmas, that helping other people to discover God's plan for their life, which begins, as we've said, with salvation. We need to pray for that. We need to seek those opportunities and even then seize those opportunities. Because Christmas is still important. It's important. It's a life-changing experience that began with Jesus and the salvation that he brought into our lives. And we're reminded, we commemorate that, we celebrate that during this time of year. So is Christmas still important? Absolutely it is. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Father, for just the meaning of it and just the reminder of it. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us that are here that may hear this message would really be challenged, maybe even convicted, to make sure that we're reorienting all of what's going to happen in these next few weeks as we lead up to Christmas. And then even the aftermath, all of the opportunities that come, the times in shopping and being with people, being with family, not just in the public forum, but maybe even in our own homes, seizing and taking the opportunity to share the true meaning of why Christmas is important. And as we've said this morning, there's no question, it's about Jesus. So, Father, we ask that you would flood our hearts with that peace that we spoke of in the opening part of our service this morning. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that only comes by way of you. And I pray that as we celebrate Christmas personally, that we would focus and understand that peace. I pray, Lord, that as we're with others and have opportunity to share who Jesus is to us, that you would give us the words and the ability to do that. But Father, we also want to give opportunity. If there's someone here this morning that has never accepted Jesus Christ, I can't think of a greater time of year to get that settled than right now. And to truly begin to understand and experience the true meaning of what Christmas is. And why, as we've said this morning, it's still important. We want to give those folks opportunity. We have people here who would love to share with them how they can know that and settle Jesus in their heart. And so we're going to ask them during our time of commitment, just come forward, and then we'll connect them with somebody who can then share with them what that means. For the rest of us, Father, it just may be we need to rededicate our lives, reorient, rediscover your plan for our life. Whatever it is you may be leading us to do, Lord, we now move into a time to respond to that, whether it means to come to the altar and to spend some time praying about things, a particular person or a situation that we want to give over to you, or praying even in our seats. Whatever it is, Father, you lead us now as we respond to you and your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?